Hey folks, this is an episode that we released to our subscribers about 18 months ago, and it's kind of a little preview of what you can get when you sign up to our Patreon. So if you go to patreon.com/unsungpod, you can see all of our tiers for all of our different benefits you can get for being a fan. But one thing you get, no matter how much you give us, is you get early access to all our episodes, and you also get access to these bonus episodes. So if you like what you hear on this, go over there and check out the benefits and stuff. This is a little bit more freewheeling than our usual chat, but hopefully you guys dig it. What's up? You
this
guys
is
paid money.
Split 7-inch, so that means
special super bonus split 7-inch. I did a costume change just
bonus
for it.
Bonus content.
Yep. You paid monies for this, and we thank you so much for that.
We put slightly less effort into this. I sit at a slightly jauntier angle.
My
earphone is slightly askew.
Mark lets his beard down.
Yeah. Take all the fucking man bun out and all that shit.
But this is actually a good one because there was a load of things.
Man.
So who suggested this?
So it's Craig Brown, who is a good friend of the pod. He fucking loves the podcast, and he suggested this very fine topic.
The topic is best final tracks on records.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's actually interesting how many of my favourite records don't necessarily have an amazing final track, but then it's also then interesting going through and finding quite a lot of albums that are maybe not incredible but have really good final tracks
There's some really genius moments of ending tracks. I don't even necessarily think we'll get into them, but the band Radiohead spend a disproportionate amount of time, I think, considering their final tracks and their albums.
I think my favourite, if we're going to talk straight up, I think my favourite final track by Radiohead is Videotape on Rainbows.
You are my center when I spin away out of control on videotape.
Because that's also one of my favourite Radiohead songs.
Is it Motion
songs.
Picture Soundtrack?
It's The Tourist on OK Computer, isn't
it? Is that
the
one?
Yeah.
No. I was actually going to start us off with Pink Maggot.
I also chose that.
Well,
it's interesting that
I did make a note of just the fact that Deftones in general, not so much their last tracks, but their secret tracks amazing. Mm-hmm. On their first three records, the secret tracks are probably up there with the best tracks on the albums.
Yeah.
So we'd kind of talked about, should we mention, albums that should have finished earlier on a great track, but I think there's so many options with this topic.
Are we talking about secret tracks though? Because that's like
no. So
we're not talking about secret tracks.
So I think Pink Maggot's great. I would have said that likes Boys Republic from White Pony is even better, but it's a secret track. So I think that'll possibly be suggested at some other point.
But Pink Maggot is an interesting one because the record label then got them to re-record it as a single, speed it up, repeat the chorus, and then even put it as the first track on the re-release of the album.
It does have probably the best chorus on the record, even though it's not primed for being a pop song.
Yeah. But, that Back to School is not supposed to be on White Pony.
It's an aberration, that song, really.
Yeah.
Think about it.
But I really like
Pink Maggot
version.
Works perfectly. Pink Maggot's such a good track.
That's a decent one. Can I just say, so I eventually just resorted to doing this like alphabetically, going through like my library of music, and I had to just cut it at L. Because it was just like, this is, we've only got, well, this is meant to be a short bonus segment. Yeah, I mean, so I've literally not, I don't think I've got anybody, maybe one that popped into my head beyond L. So it's not comprehensive, and I think we'll probably come back to this. So I'm not going to like be exhaustive. If you can think of something that's not on here, let us know. If it comes after the letter L, then just, you know, hold fire. But yeah, it, I mean, there's so many. There's a few anomalies as well. We noticed a few that, you know, you get albums where they've got like two live tracks on the end. I didn't really think we should count them.
No, I wouldn't count either.
And there's also like, what's interesting is like, there's sometimes bonus tracks, and sometimes, like, for instance, the album that got me into black metal was the Mubogir Puritanical Euphoric Misanthropia. And the version I had, which also came with a poster and a back patch, the final track on the record was Burn in Hell, which I think is that a Twisted Sister or Sisters of Mercy track? And it's kind of cheesy, but I kind of liked it. But in actual fact, it shouldn't really, that was a extra track. And the actual final track is a song called Perfection or Vanity, which is actually a really, really good closing track because it's just this really long, slow, instrumental sort of symphonic thing.
I can't quite remember, but is the song We Are the Romans on the album We Are the Romans by Botch actually a full track? Because it's the kind of drum and bass kind of weird electronic thing. It doesn't sound like anything else in the album, and I wasn't sure if it was thrown on as some kind of additional thing.
It doesn't appear on the track listing.
Right, because if that album finishes on Man the Ramparts, then that's a real contender.
It does. And then you've got a hidden track.
Is that what it is?
Well, thank God for Worker Bee's remix is like a hidden track on it. So maybe We Are the Romans is it maybe on a bonus track or something?
Okay, well, no, I mean, hey, if Man the Ramparts is the last one on that, that is a
beast. That really works.
That's a really, really good one. Although I would have loved it if we've ended Anthology of Dead Ends on Afghanistan. But anyway, you know.
Yeah, I know.
What am I going to do?
Hey, maybe we should talk about a few of the albums that we've actually featured, because that's one.
There's quite a few of them actually. Yeah.
Hang
on, just to clear something up, that's not on the original version at all. We Are the Romans.
Cool. There you are.
Oh, there you go.
The first album we ever featured was Scottish Fiction. No, it was Remote Part by Idlewild.
Yeah, Scottish Fiction is a good closing track.
Scottish Fiction is a really good closing track, and I think they try and finish their sets with that. It's got the spoken word part by
Edwin Morgan.
Jane Doe on Jane Doe.
Jane Doe's on
Converge.
My list.
That's a fucking unreal end.
Although I'm torn between that and Wretched World from Axe to Fall.
I prefer Wretched World personally.
Really outstanding.
Yeah. And then, I mean, Hanging Moon on You Fail Me is very different because it's a fast as fuck. You know, they're like, all right, we're going to do another 2 minute after the previous three slow songs, but it works really well as well.
Mm-hmm. There's
Converge are just really good at it.
Yeah. Cave In as well, actually. Woodwork on Antenna is a really big, epic, tuneful, gushy final song. And New Moon on Jupiter, obviously the album that we covered. New Moon's a brilliant song to finish on.
Well, I had picked we built this site on Debts and Booze by Wilhelm Scream, which is the last song, Career Suicide, which is a record we covered, and I think it's the longest song on the record. It is an epic, epic, epic closer. That's another good shout, I think.
We covered Dirty Three and mm-hmm. the track Lullaby for Christie, the kind of repeated motif over almost 8 minutes of just this very, very faint, beautiful lilt building up and building up and then fading away again. Then I think it's an absolutely gorgeous bit of music. Low had a couple as well, not on Trust, admittedly, but Violent Past and Walk Into the Sea from Drums and Guns and The Great Destroyer. Are really, really good in their own right. They tended to go for these really saturated final tracks, so like almost like overdriven organs, overdriven compressed vocal effect. It was a weird, hazy, dreamy, maximal end to the albums rather than going out in something quite soft, but it's really effective.
We're No Here on Mr. Peace by Mogwai is a very good closer. I think Mogwai probably are very near the top of the list with their final song on Young Team, which is of course Mogwai Fear Satan.
Yeah, which
it could finish music really.
Arguably, yeah, arguably their defining song.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. We've done the first Bronx record, so Strobe Life, the last song on that is a really, really good song. Doesn't really sound like the rest of the record, but it's a nice, low-key, almost At The Drive-In-esque kind of feeling song.
And on the grunge mixtape, the live one, I chose Hole, Live Through This, mm-hmm. and the final track in that, Rockstar, which I think some people call Olympia, but that's a really, really good, strong finishing song. It's a song that could have appeared way, way, way earlier in that album and still being like a big tune. Mm. So it was kind of brave of them to put it so close to the end. On that note, I actually really like it when bands do that, when bands take a song that is just incredibly strong and then put it on the end. Because, I mean, quite often as well, you don't even hear it the first couple of times you listen. Yeah. Yeah. You're really dedicated. Yeah.
They're just like, this is for the album, not for you.
Yeah. I think there's a Spanish group that I think I've maybe mentioned. They're actually split up now, but they're called Betinizer or Betinizer. And they had a song called Disfrutar Es Ir Con Todo from the album Enciende Tu Lomo. And I'll put a wee sample of it on, but it is probably the band's best tune. And it's at the end of this record, and it is just such a good ending, because the record's pretty consistently pretty good, and then it just has this phenomenal ending that just has given it a special place, because you always, whenever you think about it, you're like, it just ends so well, you know.
One of the ones I went for was Hallowed Be Thy Name by Iron Maiden.
An absolute beast
of a song.
Yeah, truly.
And also, in a completely different tangent, but still pretty great is Sam Queek from the last song on the second Nails record, A Band No Life. It's just unrelentingly pummeling. It's a properly big, evil, evil, evil song. Which I totally love. And then you can tell me if this is if I should put this in or not, but the end of disc one of The River has The River by Bruce Springsteen, which is a phenomenal tune.
It's not the end of the album though, is
it? No,
no.
I wanted to mention it though.
Actually, one that you'll dig, Mark, one that I thought was quite interesting as well, Bad Religion. So, well, first of all, I like Grey Race. Actually finishes with a punk rock song but sung in German. I think I kind of prefer it.
Yeah.
It's just it's earlier in the album, but they just repeat it at the very end of the album, but sung in German. And then I think the middle eight is still in English, because maybe they just didn't learn the German in time, yeah. I'm not sure. But Stranger Than Fiction by Bad Religion is an interesting one. They had released a track called 21st Century Digital Boy as part of Against the Grain, but it never came out as a single, but it was a massive song for them. They were playing it every single night for like 15 years or something like that, and it had never actually been a single. So when they brought out Stranger Than Fiction, apparently this was their big step up to a major, controversial step up to a major. The label was concerned that there were no obvious singles on that album, and so the band were like, well, why don't we re-record 21st Century Digital Boy and release it as a single this time, seeing as it's so popular. Which seemed to work actually quite well for them, but they put it as the last tune, so the album, fantastically strong album anyway, but the album ends on this massive tune. But also, one thing about that, and this kind of doesn't really necessarily go with the rules here, but on the two other editions of that, the Japanese one and the European one, there are two and three tracks extra, and those tracks are Makovian Process, News from the Front, and Leaders and Followers. And genuinely, no hyperbole, they are three of the best Bad Religion songs ever. They would make probably my top five Bad Religion tunes, and they are the secret tracks, or they're the bonus tracks, sorry, on these editions of this album. So however you end that album, however you end Stranger Than Fiction, if it's the original one, the European one, or the Japanese one, you're ending on an absolute ripper of a tune.
Yeah, it's a good shout.
I just realised we missed out Heart by Nine Inch Nails and Downward Spiral.
That's a very, very, very good example. Fucking hell.
Also Purple Rain on Purple Rain.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. Yeah, it's the final track.
All Apologies on In Utero.
Oh, yeah, of course.
All Apologies.
These are sort of is a great classics. Did you know Freebird was last on that Lynyrd Skynyrd record?
Unsurprising.
Didn't know that.
When the Levee Breaks on Led Zeppelin 4, that's a banger.
That's a banger, that's true.
Can you tell Dave's opened up a list?
I know, these are other people's, these aren't people ones that I thought.
On a kind of slightly more, not that obscure, the band Jawbox, on the album Jawbox, they finish with a cover of Tori Amos's Cornflake Girl, and it is tremendous. This is not really happening. It is a really, really good cover. Actually, one of the best covers I've heard, full stop, and it's a great way to finish that album.
I was thinking about Run the Jewels, and for me it's a toss-up between Angel Duster at the end of the first record, or Report to the Shareholders, Kill Your Masters, at the end of the third record. I got away with this, they might drag me away for this. Put me in a cage for this, I might pay for this. I just say what I want like I'm made for this. But I'm afraid some days I might be wrong. Maybe that's why me and Mike get along. Hey, not for the same part of town, but we both hear the same. Both are like kind of similar in vibe, but I think maybe Angel Duster just pips it for me, because it's, I don't know, it's got that awesome keyboard. Who's it? Is it Kamasi? Not Kamasi Washington. Who's the guy that was in Mars Volta that died? Anyway, he plays keys in that record, and it's properly big sounding.
TJ. Got hope for the living. Woo. Got prayers for the dead. RTJ. In the sky, got whiskey and ride for the voices in my head. RTJ. Got kush for the pain. Woo. The world is dangerous. Ripping green men the same.
On a kind of tangent from that, one band that excels at final tracks is the band Faith No More.
Mm-hmm.
I was struggling to kind of pick actually which one I prefer, because on Angel Dust they finish with Easy. They're totally defining cover. On King for a Day they finish with a tremendous song called Just a Man, which includes like a gospel part and is so tongue in cheek yet also just excellent. It's a phenomenal ending to an album that is just so all over the place stylistically as well, going from like Cuckoo for Caca and Starry AD to Just a Man to Evidence. It's just such a wild array of styles in that record. And also album of the year, the album that followed that ends with this incredible like doom anthem, like really deeply pessimistic song called Paths of Glory. It was such a downer ending to what was for a long time their last work.
Another band that, well, their best three records, which were their first three records, and each of them have a very good final song, are the Chemical Brothers. Exit Planet Dust finishes with Alive Alone. Like all three of these records, their final track is like a big, mad, expansive, slow, sort of introspective thing. Alive Alone is great on the first record. Dream on Surrender is fantastic. But I think the pinnacle is, and one of the best of all time for me, is the Private Psychedelic Reel. Dig Your Own Hole for a second record, which I also think is their best record, but yeah, it finishes fucking incredibly.
Even just going up to L and Alphabet, I ended up with like a top five here.
Mm-hmm.
But the favourite was perversely the one that immediately jumped out of my head as soon as Mark told me what the subject was that had been chosen. But before I get there, some honourable mentions. I think Fuck Buttons, Flight of the Feathered Serpent, which we've mentioned on the interviews with Ben, it's on the Tarot Sport album.
Mm-hmm.
That's a terrific ending to that record. And he is no stranger to that, because he's also the Wings of Hate on his newest album, Animated Violence Mild, just out. An absolutely crushing album, as we said it would be when we were interviewing him, because we were lucky enough to hear it in advance. The track Wings of Hate is just brilliant, like brilliant, really brutal. Blackheart Procession, if you've ever heard of them, really atmospheric, kind of sinister, I don't even know what you'd call them, like noirish country alternative project. They, on their album Dispel, which came out in 2006, the final tune to bring you back is a heartbreaking song. When I wake, light seeps in,
and I know I have no. It's a good album, but it's a heartbreaking final song.
And on that same kind of tone, Leif Erikson from Interpol's first full album, Turn on the Bright Lights. There's another pure tearjerker to finish on. One that jumped into my head that hasn't made that top five, Third Eye from Enema by Tool.
Mm-hmm.
You know the track Third Eye?
I'm not a huge Tool yep. fan.
It starts with a Bill Hicks sample and is about 13 minutes long, that song. is a great song, has all the different things they do in it. It's probably them at their absolute best. I mean, it's that the album is them at their best, but Third Eye is just proggier than the rest of that album. So obviously they started to get longer and more elaborate and more, you know, more Tool, I guess, more cliched Tool. You know, they're just really recycling what they did now. But Third Eye, that final tune, is way longer, way more experimental. It's a bit like the track Push It also in that album, where it goes into these long passages that are quite ambient and quite gentle, and then it has these other really, really nasty, intense, heavy parts in it. Third Eye is a really, really great song, and a song that long after you've digested a lot of the rest of the album, you're still working away at this final track because there's so much more to it. So I think a thing that deserves a mention, also Fugazi, the track Argument on The Argument. Is a tremendous
way. Yeah, that was on my list. I fucking love that track.
To finish a career as well, because we don't know if they're ever going to do anything else. And if that is their last ever song, it's a hell of a way to go out. But yeah, I think that's all my honourable mentions. So I've really only got my list. Mark, do you have anything else you want to sneak in? Oh no, actually, in honour of my wardrobe change, the track Armour Love on
Jesus,
LaRue's first album. Is just so goddamn good. Like, so good.
I'm sure it is.
Before the remix of is it In For The Kill remix? Before the remix, the last track proper is wonderful.
Yeah, I would, for honourable mentions for me, are probably Rough Hands, which is the last song in Crisis by Alex on Fire. Different from the rest of the album, like piano led, really, really, really nice use of the three vocalists. Orchestra of Wheels by Gallows. This is the last song on the first record, and it is a bit immature in the sense that the lyrics are quite graphic, and it's all about like taking like sort of like a critique of like that pure lad culture, the pure like going out and like trying to pull lassies kind of culture, but it's a really, really good, really effective song. And yeah, The Force Majeure by Boy Sets Fire, last song on After The Eulogy.
Oh, that is a good song.
That's a really, really good closer.
Wow, that's an older reference.
Yeah.
Have you got a list?
I do have a list, yeah. In no particular order, The Pecan Tree by Def Heaven. We've done Sunbather. I think it's a really, really, really good closer. Red Sky by Thrice.
You are wrong, Chris. Fuck off.
On Visu, Red Sky by Thrice is a really downbeat, low key closer. Which then gets quite epic and then sort of tails off at the end. 23 by Jimmy World on Futures. Also really good closer, 7.5 minutes long, slow, really.
I remember you talking
builds
about that
and builds
one.
And builds, yeah.
That's a really good song. I like that album.
It's a really, really, really good album. I Just Want to Sell It at My Funeral by The Wonder Years. So, One of the things I love about this song the most is it actually does like a reprise of all the three or four different choruses from the record that kind of make up the narrative almost.
Oh, that's quite cool, yeah.
So like they kind of work them back in. So it's a really,
that's a nice touch.
Really nice way to end it. And I suppose finally for me, like I said, it's in no particular order, but No Surface, All Feeling by RMI Street Preachers on Everything Must Go.
Oh, yeah. Wowzers.
It's a really, really good
album. I remember
ending.
The Christmas my dad got that album.
Well, like, oh yeah, that is the dad album. That's the BMW album.
Yeah.
No, that's it. You're thinking of This Is My Truth, the one after this.
No, this was the first BMW album. Sorry to break it to you.
Oh, well.
I'll give you maybe Audi, but definitely in that direction.
Comes with indicators, in case you need to use them.
Right, so I feel like there's three types of good tracks, finishing tracks. There is, like, one that has kind of nothing to do with the record. It's like the album might have finished before, and then this is like a last sort of, well, that was weird, wasn't it? So it's like a weird
post-coital
thing. Look back at it.
Yeah.
Then there's just a total banger that's on the end,
yeah,
that we've talked about.
Like 21st Century Digital Boy type thing.
And then there is sort of long drawn out final tracks that are just like, all right, we're going to
serious soft spot for those ones, man.
Yeah, me too. Same. That's what, I've got an entire playlist made up of them, mm-hmm. and it's, yeah, it takes me a whole range of emotions.
There's something nice about that, though, right? So it's maybe, rather than us just jumping straight into that list before you, the thing about a last track, it really allows an artist to indulge themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, okay, some feel the compulsion to end big, end strong, but others are like, no, I've done the work, this is about me now.
Yeah, exactly.
This is like my moment, and this is my chance to put like a bow on this album, an artistic sort of final, like the kind of a garnish of how do I want this to finish.
Yeah,
you know. And I think there's something really there's something much deeper about the process for a last track, almost, in fact, than anything, because even a first track's actually probably more commercially minded than it is creatively minded. Yeah. So like a last track has that, right, go do something
magical.
Let's
try and sum up this record in one track.
Yeah, or say something even. Yeah. Like you said, even if it's disconnected to what's come before.
Yeah.
And you get some total nonsense, obviously, but you get some wonderful results as well from that sense of freedom that the artist then gets.
Yeah.
Often that's experimentation, doing stuff that you don't hear them doing on any other tracks.
So in my honourable mentions, I mean, there's a couple of tracks that I was like, fuck, I can't believe they were last. This Must Be the Place, Naive Melody by Talking Heads. That's the last track on Speaking in Tongues. Last track on The Queen Is Dead by The Smiths is Some Girls Are Bigger Than Others. Fucking great track. Then, do you know what? The last track on Joshua Tree by U2 is Mothers of the Disappeared. And it's actually this really fucking beautiful, introverted... it's nearly post-rock. It's really, really good. Considering that, you know, that album starts with the three songs that sound the same from the Friends. Ariel,
you're swinging for the fences here, mate.
Ariel by Kate Bush is finishes with Ariel, and it's fucking beautiful.
Oh, can I just add Ariel's by System of a Down?
Yeah, I don't think that's aged well, but I mean, I did like it when it came out.
Yeah.
Then there's
check it, Dave taking the high ground here on new metal.
No, I know.
No, come on, Mark. Let's act our age here.
If you want good new metal finishers,
what was the last song in Life Is Peachy?
Is that not Twist? No, did they not do a cover of
Lowrider?
Yeah.
Anyway, I think that's last. Anyway,
but if you want two great new metal finishers, then the first two Slipknot albums finish with like big, huge post-metal riffs. Scissors off Slipknot
Scissors
is fucking
is
amazing.
That's pretty cool.
And then Iowa off Iowa just sounds like Neurosis.
Yeah, so Scissors crushing. And Iowa are both great examples of a band having the reins taken off just for a while at the end of the record.
Because like, at the front of the record, you've got Wait and Bleed or My Plague.
It's only 3 minutes, 4 minutes.
Let's do the single.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas at the end, they're like, oh, we can be as good a band as we want.
It gives you some real insight into what these bands could do if they were also, you know, so involved with the commercial trappings of their project as well.
Architects, remember them? Oh, I mean, they're huge now.
I almost picked an Architects song.
The first track off their first mini album.
The last track, sorry.
The Darkest Tomb from Nightmares is a fucking great track. It's like really technical, but it's just got like some amazing little riffs that like swirl around. And also a band called Hope's Fall. Remember them?
Oh, Hope's Fall, man. Yeah. They're epic.
The Satellite Years was like their decent record, and the last track by them is called The Bending, and it's fucking brilliant. It just sort of all breaks down, and then loads of little riffs come out after you. But my top five, I'm going to go for one that sits outside the rest of the record. Is from Aphex Twin's Syro, his last record, Esatatsana 102. And it's just this beautiful little introspective piano track after 12 tracks of mad electronic. And it's one of his most played tracks because it gets added to all these Spotify like chill out lists or whatever, but it's absolutely beautiful. Sixth.
Wow.
Death of a Dead Day, which was their second record.
Oh.
It's fine, but As the Earth Spins Around, it's a fucking amazing final track. Is it like it's another like Hope's Fall or Architects where it just breaks down and you've got drums and guitar and loads of ideas coming out and it fades out.
I couldn't get into that.
I love a fucking fade out.
Couldn't get into that record, but I may have to go back to that song.
Truly love a fade out, and the best fade out of all time is Vulgar Display of Power by Pantera and Hollow. Where it just, oh my god!
When I was talking to Craig about this in the pub the other day, he'd mentioned that song as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I've picked a fade out, and I think it's a better fade out.
All right, and then Sigur Rós (), Untitled 8. Just a fucking beautiful, powerful song. I mean, fucking amazing.
It does sound as boring as a Sigur Rós song.
No, it's like that's their good record, and that's like the best song on their good album.
Okay.
And then I think probably my favourite would be possibly one of my favourite records of all time, and I saw this live, Dark City Dead Man off Somewhere Along the Highway by Cult of Luna. This 15-minute massive masterpiece of fucking joy, and I think it's maybe the best post-rock, post-metal song that there is.
I can believe that. I'm a big fan. I don't know what you mean, but yeah, really good. All right, my five are quite different. Counting down, number five, the band I've mentioned many times, Electric in France. Their third record, which is incredibly dense and incredibly hard to get into, but really good, but a lot of work. But it ends with the most accessible banging tune on the record. So they've done all this incredibly complicated, challenging... I can't even define it, actually. I don't even know how you would explain that record. But it's like 17 degrees, or it's like 17 degrees 00 is the way it's written. I and it's just an absolutely stunning track. Very cyclical, very hypnotic, but the biggest ripper on that record. The fourth one, FOD by Green Day from Dookie.
Craig also mentioned that as well. That is a fucking great song, that.
That is a really, really good end track. I don't think I've ever played an end track as much as I've played that end track, and I'm including Something in the Way in that. I think FOD by Green Day, and it was such a brilliant ending to that album. Because that album, one of the things it did so well was that even though it was pop punk, it varied the tempo, it varied the sound, it varied the palette constantly throughout the album. That just it gave you so many repeated listens as a result. It was amazing.
That's, yeah, me and my good lady wife listened to that record on the drive down from Inverness a few months ago, and it's fucking great.
Oh, yeah. It's tremendous. Untouchable, untouchable.
Yeah, and I'm not mentioning the weird Kermit secret track. Okay,
so I was in my room.
In at three, I'm going to go back to Blank Mass, because the track Detritus from Dumb Flesh, I think, is absolutely one of the best closing tracks ever written by anybody. It's 3 minutes of white noise that very, very, very slowly gives way to this kind of barely perceptible melody that starts to push through and then explodes. And the whole thing is so saturated and so harsh, but so beautiful as well. It's got this really febrile, shimmering quality to it. I mean, I absolutely love that song. Really, really euphoric. Number two is by the band Hot Snakes, and the final track on their album Audit in Progress, called Plenty for All. It's not actually that typical of the rest of the album. It has like a very riffy guitar hook to it that is totally identifiable. Really, really upbeat. Like, the track is played in such a major key. It is so triumphant, so optimistic. And the album is by no means like that all the way through. They're quite a cynical band at times, but that final track is just jubilant. It's just such a brilliant, energetic way to finish an album. And it's a bit like, in its own way, All Apologies, but just massively punked up. That kind of weird, beautiful, upbeat, pretty thing, but just very energised. And
my number one.
Number one. Foo Fighters, Exhausted.
Oh, Jesus. Fuck off. Just doing that to be contrary.
I'm not, I swear. Exhausted from the first Foo Fighters album is an absolutely astonishing record. There's a track two prior to it called Ecstatic that sort of does a similar thing, but not quite as well, that really saturated, slightly shoegazy thing. But Exhausted is basically like shoegaze grunge, but done so, so well, and so melodic, it's so dreamy, so fuzzy, just brilliantly judged. The tempo of it's great, the fade out and then fade back in is brilliant. It's got this massive, massive kind of segment of just feedback, just squealing feedback that just adds to the sleepiness of it. When I was younger, I was massively into that album, as we know. I mean, we're going back to what, episode
two
here. Hugely into that album, for all the shit that we've lumped on Dave Grohl since. That is probably the tune that I've, more than any other, lay back in my bed listening to an album and just slowly dozed off, because I would be awake for the full album, but then the way that song ends would have the desired effect, which was to just become really hypnotic and just slowly drift off. And I think it's just a tremendous bit of music, and my thoughts on Foo Fighters are fairly well documented. It's hard to believe that such an absolute masterpiece came from a band that is now doing what they do. But yeah, Exhausted by Foo Fighters. I think it's just a great, great way to finish a record.
Well, that's your whack.
That was fun. That was fun. I'd like to do more, maybe. We'll find out.
M to Z.
We'll need to do secret tracks. We'll also have to do one on opening tracks.
Oh, yeah,
as well.
Opening tracks. Yeah.
We were going to do one as well on albums that should have finished one track sooner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or songs that are on the middle of albums that should,
yeah,
be,
should be at the end.
There's so many
but
ways
yeah,
to do
so
this.
Many, yeah, there's so many 7 inches we but can do. As long as you people keep giving us
it.
Cash.
Yeah, yeah. But, well, also, if you guys nominate it, if you post up with some of the ideas for these, we or tweet us or messages, we will absolutely put them in the hat and they'll get pulled out in due course. So
we'll also do a couple of playlists that we'll send you. We'll do our top 15 and then we'll do maybe a bigger one that just has everything in it. So
cool.
Epic.
All right.
Lovely, right? Bye.
Thanks.
Fade out,
we
guys.
Love you.
Fade out,
bye.
Guys. Can we fade out? Can we just talk a bit until we fade out? And then everything will go quiet and I'll be the end of the track and everything will be.